Praise the Lord. Would you turn with me to the Epistle to Hebrews, the 10th chapter?
Tenth chapter
of Hebrews. This letter, it's not known who the author is. It's really not important because the Holy Spirit wrote the word. And in this letter, it's more like a sermon, an exhortation in its entirety that he's writing it to the Jewish Christians, that the plan of salvation under the old covenant, the animal sacrifice, the tabernacle, the priesthood, the Day of Atonement, was all temporary, and is now fulfilled in Christ Jesus. It's complete in him. And he is our guide. He is the one that we look to. And in this 10th chapter, I am directed to the 19th verse through the 25th verse. A boldness to approach God. It says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our hope without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And I want to stop right here with the reading. The theme of this message is exhorting, encouraging one another as we see the day approaching. Talking about the new way. The old covenant is gone, and here we're in the new covenant. And in this, he says, having therefore boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. We don't come before the Lord in our own righteousness because we have none. But it's only through the righteousness of Christ that we're able to approach. In the old covenant, the priest could only go into the Holy of Holies once a year, go behind the curtain once a year. He had to come dressed appropriately and sprinkled with the blood, and he laid the blood on the Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat. But once a year, while the people stood without, there was no opportunity. But through Christ, praise God, through him, through his sacrifice, a new and living way was consecrated. That is to say, through the veil, through his flesh. By his sacrifice, when he died and gave up the ghost, it says the veil in the temple was torn in twain and rent asunder, indicating that the way into the Holy of Holies was now available to every one of us. Before they stood without, before they were without the temple, the tabernacle. But now, praise God, you and I pray that we appreciate what that is. It's not a religion, it's not a salvation, it's not something that is afar off, but God is very personal with us. God speaks to us. He dwells within us by his Holy Spirit. It's a very personal God, and he wants us to have that relationship with him, praise God. He uses the familiar imagery of all the sacrificial ceremonies that the Hebrew people had in the past. The ritual washings and the cleansings and all that is we come cleansed by the blood of Jesus, by the word of God, praise God. Let us draw near with true heart in full assurance of faith, praise God. A true heart, a sincere heart, A sincere heart, praise God, that we draw near to Him. They wanted to get close to God, but there was no opportunity. It didn't come, praise God, in those days as we see. But it was after faith came that they could have that full assurance of faith. Their focus was on serving the law. It says, but in Paul writes in Hebrews, for by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Praise the Lord. Salvation is a gift. You and I can't earn it. We don't earn it. It's impossible. There's nothing in us. It's only the righteousness of the blood of Jesus that cleansed us, praise God, that can save us. And here we have, praise God, that we come. It's the gift of faith that He provides for us. Let us hold fast a profession of our faith without wavering, praise God. Without qualification. You know, today it's sometimes we do kind of lose hold a little bit at times. Without wavering. But we got to hold fast. So many things the enemy throws at us, we're fighting constantly. We're fighting a spiritual battle. But we got to hold fast, brother. That's the spiritual battle that we fight, to hold fast to what we have heard. That our confession, praise God, of hope to the end. Praise God. What is how we started in this Christian journey? We made a confession. We testified. We said, Lord, we're going to follow you. Lord, we're going to serve you. We took the water baptism. We made that commitment. When we prayed for the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of God came, and we made that commitment again, and we said, Lord, we're going to continue to follow you. That was the determination of our heart. We found something so precious. We found something so good and so wonderful. Praise God. We didn't want to depart from it. But the enemy continues to bombard us, and we have our own carnal nature that we fight. Someone said it's like two lions standing guard before the presence of God. One is our carnal nature, our desires. And the old man, praise God, that would cause us to look away, that sometimes, you know, we look within and we see our imperfections. And then we have the other lion, the enemy, Satan of our soul, who would like to destroy us and keep us separated from God, who would cause us to question ourselves and say, you're not worthy. You're not able. You can't do it. Look at the failures. Look at your life. Look at how you've behaved. Look at your past. And God says, put that under the blood of Jesus and don't look at your past. But look at me, praise God. I'm the author and finisher. I'll save you. I'll keep you. I'll give you grace and strength and take you all the way to the end, praise God. Oh, Lord, help us in this day. Help us, Lord, as we want to stay determined to follow you. Oh, praise the Lord. Have you ever noticed when you've determined to want to draw closer to God? Maybe to pray more, maybe to meditate, maybe to do something that God's put on your heart. And it looks like the timing, looks like somebody's overseeing, watching what you're doing. And all of a sudden, things get in the way. Busy, the phone rings, this comes up, that comes up. I got to do this, I got to do that. That's not a coincidence, that's not an accident. It's the enemy trying to keep us separated. One of the great things he uses, distractions in this life. So many things that keep our attention. So many things that keep our focus. So many things, we're so busy. Got things to do. And God understands that. And someone says, well, I don't have time. I don't have time to go to the prayer meeting. I don't have time to attend the service. I can't make it. I don't have time. I don't have time to go to the Bible study. I don't have time to go to Sunday school. And you know what? You're absolutely right. You don't have time. Because the enemy is going to fill up your life with all kind of stuff. You've got to make time. Amen? You've got to give it the priority. What is it that's important? It's my soul.
One day this life is going to pass.
One day we're going to come to the end. One day, praise God, if the Lord doesn't come first, one day we're going to be ushered out to eternity. And what's going to be important? All the times we attended this or attended that, or all the things that we accomplished in our job, all the things we did in this life, is that going to be important? I guarantee you it's not. What's going to count is that relationship we have with Him. Praise God. When they usher us out to eternity, we close our eyes on this side of glory. And I'll open them over there. Praise God. It's the assurance that God gives us. Praise God. Hold fast the profession of our faith. Amen. Take the time. Make time for the Lord. Praise God. Make time for His word. Make time, praise God, for what's important. I'm going to dwell on that some more as we go on with the rest of the word. Let us hold fast the profession of our hope without wavering. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. You know, the Hebrews in the Old Covenant were focused on satisfying the law. And it was almost like it was self-absorbing. It was all about me, focusing on myself. But here, what is the word telling us? Let us consider carefully, think about, to look at something attentively, very important, to direct one's whole mind and energy in focusing on a particular object. Consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Lord, the Holy Spirit is telling us we come together. When we're apart, think about each other. Consider about encouraging one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Did you give that a thought this morning before you came? Did you give it a thought? How can I bless the body of Christ this morning? How can I be a blessing to the body of Christ? We're not here to be satisfied. You know, today it's like a consumeristic approach to church. People searching for new churches. Well, let's go see what do they have. It's like buying a car. Well, they got power steering, power brakes. They got automatic windows. They got a GPS system. That's not bad. I don't have heated seats or cool seats. Oh, well, that they're out of the, that's forget it. But today, we're not here to audition for anyone. We're here to present the gospel message, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That your faith would not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Praise God. What's going to change your soul? It's not what the church offers. Unless it's the word of God, the body of, it's the blood of Jesus, the thing that God calls us to preach. Jesus Christ, Him crucified. I love what Paul wrote in Corinthians. I can turn to that just a moment. He says, and brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. I didn't have PowerPoint. I didn't have smoke and mirrors. Oh, it doesn't say that in there, but I just kind of ad lib a little bit. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. As with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Well, Brother Ron, you folks have a website. You're promoting yourselves. We do as minimal as possible. What we want to present is the message. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We didn't get elaborate. We didn't try to say, oh, you know, you come to this church, your whole life is going to be, it's just going to be glorious. No. Your life is going to be changed. Yes, it is. Because of the power of God, because of the Holy Spirit movement in your life. Your life is going to be changed because you come in contact with the truth. And the truth is going to set you free. But we're not here to audition and say, well, look at us. No, it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. We're presenting Jesus. Well, you folks preach a little too specific, a little too hard, a little too right to the heart. The Holy Spirit. If we're preaching the Word of God, there's going to be conviction. Because tell me, which of us are righteous and perfect? Which of us have no areas that God needs to work on? None of us, right? We all need something from the Lord. And the Holy Spirit at times is going to convict us, and we're going to feel uncomfortable. And the Spirit of God is going to speak right to where we are. The sword of the Spirit, it's a discerner and intents of the heart. It goes right to the heart of the matter. It knows where the cancer is in your life. And it's going to expose it. And then you got to deal with it. And why is God doing that? Is he cruel? No, he loves you. He wants to make you holy. He wants to see you in glory with him. That's the whole purpose of why he sent his son. To die on the cross and shed his blood and pay the price of your sin and my sin. We're not here because we're good people. We're not here because we deserve to be here. We're here because of the blood of Jesus, the love of God, praise the Lord, that it was shed abroad in our hearts. We're here because of him. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, God, help us. Help us, Lord, to come. Encourage, exhort one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Your presence here this morning encourages me. Well, Brother Ron, if you knew my heart right now, I'm disgusted, I'm in turmoil, everything's a mess. But you're here. Somehow you made it. And you probably said, I wish I had stayed home. But you made it. And you're being an encouragement. You may not even realize it, but you're being an encouragement. Praise God, just being here. Consider one another. How can I bless the body of Christ? It's a consumer, you know, it's looking at church as consumer. Lord, how can you bless me? What can you do for me? What help, what blesses me? What benefits me? No, that's not it. How can I bless the body of Christ? Praise God. How can I be an encouragement to my brothers and sisters? Have you prayed for that recently? Have you thought about it even? Holy Spirit's been dealing with me about this for some time. Encourage. Somewhere else it says, encourage one another daily. Praise God. We all need encouragement, do we not? Do you get encouragement out in the world? Oh, maybe once in a while, a boss will pat you on the back and say you're doing a good job. But a lot of discouragement out there, a lot of criticism, a lot of negativity. It's a hostile world out there, but oh, praise God, when the body of Christ gets together, we encourage one another by our presence, by our worship, by how we approach one another. We consider one another. That sister or that brother, their spouse is not here this morning. I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to encourage them. And it's not just a one-time thing. It's a habitual. It's something that's a pattern. You understand what I'm saying? When we pray for the body of Christ, the Holy Spirit can put on our hearts to encourage someone. Lord, I feel like sending a text message to so-and-so, or maybe giving them a phone call, or maybe inviting them for a cup of coffee and just a fellowship. Praise God. The body of Christ wants to be together. What do we find in the book of Acts? Read the first few chapters. You know them well, but what does it say? It says they gathered together, they broke bread together. They had all things common. They helped one another. If they had a piece of land and someone was in need, they sold it and gave it to the apostles to distribute it to the necessities. There was togetherness. What does it say? Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Why? So the Holy Ghost could move, so the body could be edified, so the body could grow. So God could be glorified in all things. We stay away from the services and from the fellowship, whatever the fellowship is. There's a distance that kind of takes place. You ever had what you would call maybe close friends at work you worked with for many years, and you had a great relationship, and what happens when you retire or get a new job and go in some other location in the company, and you lose that connection? What happens? Well, I'll stay in touch. Doesn't happen. Oh, once in a while, but most of the part, what you had in common was work. What you had in common was the job. What we have in common is Christ Jesus, the Savior of our soul. Praise God. And He wants us. We were designed to be together. We need to be together. We need each other. We're not islands. We just don't go and come. A number. A pew designation. We need each other. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. We need each other. There's a testimony somebody's going to give that's going to bless you, that's going to encourage you. And if you're not going to be here, you're going to miss it. Exhort one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Oh, praise God. Oh, Lord, help us. You know, it's wonderful when we can spend fellowship with one another in a Christian way. A couple months ago, Kath and I took our two grandsons out before they went to college, Cody and Zach. And over dinner, we talked with them about the youth group. And they had some good thoughts. We had a good conversation. And I talked to Brother Steve, and I said, you know, I'd like to expand this and get together with you and Cindy and Sister Val and maybe some of the kids in the older class downstairs. And we could get together and expand this conversation. What can we do to help the youth group? And Brother Luke was there, and Max and Nicole. Brother Ron was there, the teacher for that class. And we had just a wonderful conversation. I'm thinking to myself, how does a 78-year-old man relate to teenagers, 17, 18, 19 years old? How do you relate to them? Well, it's through Jesus Christ, through our shared, you know, the communion through Jesus Christ. And we had a beautiful time. I some good ideas came from it. And you've had those experiences, I'm sure, yourself, maybe when you're with your family or with someone and have a coffee and you begin to talk about the Lord. And I don't mean, you know, I mean in a positive way. Isn't it wonderful what God's doing? We want to see God work more, so on and so forth. Oh, praise God. That's what the Word of God, He's commanding us. He says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. as you see, and here's the thing that really gets me, so much the more as you see the day approaching. It seems like the more signs we see, the more lax we're becoming. Do we see the signs? What is going on? Well, someone, well, you know, it's been like this forever. There's been wars, rumors of war, blah, 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 blah. No, it's different. It's different now. The things are coming to pass that the Word of God predicts. We're seeing it right open before our very eyes. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. Where are you, brother? Where are you, sister? If the Lord should return, where are you? Where are your children? Where are your grandchildren? I ask myself that question. I'm fearful. I shouldn't be, but I'm fearful. And I say, Lord, stir our hearts. Lord, continue to work. Consider one another. Well, my family's in church. Thank God for that. What about the other families? We're all one family. What about this family? Who's out of the ark of safety? Who's not serving? Who's neglecting? Who's not surrendered their heart? That's not to be critical. I don't mean it like that. I'm saying, Lord, encourage, consider one another. Provoke unto love and to good works. Do you see what's going on? Do you see it? It's all over the place. It's in your face. Satan has taken the mask off. It's in the social structure of the world. It's in the politics. It's in the in business. It's all over the place. It's all about the money. It's the corruption. Child trafficking. Oh, Lord, how can you stand it? And God has perfect timing, but also an encouragement to the church. The old covenant's gone. We're in the new covenant now. We have boldness to approach the throne of grace. We can go into the Holy of Holies. Before, they never could do that, but we can now because of the blood of Jesus. And he cleansed us and washed us, praise God. And he presented us to the Father, praise God. And he says here, hold fast the profession of your confession. Hold fast. God wants to work. He wants to bless. He wants to bring them in. That is God's plan, not willing that any should perish. Is it God's will that someone be lost? Absolutely not. I can answer that without equivocation. It's absolutely not. Well, I think they're okay. I don't know. They go to church once in a while. I don't know what church they go to. I don't know what they preach. Are they too busy for church? What's your responsibility? What's mine? To be an encourager. Amen. To be an encourager. Not an accuser. Not a condemner. But an encourager. Oh Lord, help us. Draw us close. Praise God. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. You know, it's just look in the socially, it's we celebrate family, birthdays in the family, I guess like all families do. We try and get together. It's hard. Kids got this going on, that going on, we gotta move this, we're traveling, we're doing this, we're doing that. It's hard. It's hard to get together. Is that by accident? No. That's the enemy's plan. I'll keep them so busy. I'll keep them so distracted. I'll break that unity. And the families start to disintegrate a little bit. We don't see each other as much. Thank God we see each other in church. Our families that are here. And sometimes I think we take that for granted. I love to be with the family. Kath and I are now the matriarch and the patriarch of the family. We're the two oldest. And I love it every time we can get together. Don't you think God feels the same way every time we come together as a family? Don't you think his heart feels the same thing? Oh, I love to see my people gathered together worshiping. Praise God. Oh, Lord, would you help us this morning? The Word of God is encouraging us, warning us, alerting us, exhorting us. I'm going to read these scriptures again. I'm going to close. Brother, sister, would you come forward? Let us hold fast the profession of our hope without wavering. And hope is faith on steroids. Hope is faith on steroids. A hope. We have a hope, praise God. We're going to see him. It's real, praise God. For he is faithful that promised, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. And not forsaking assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. Has there been folks in the congregation you haven't saluted for a long time? Not because you're trying to avoid them, but because somehow you don't get back or you don't get to run into them. Some of us leave right away. A sister that passed on with the Lord. So you know her previous pastor told her, don't hang around after church because you're going to start gossiping. Now, I don't know if I agree with that. I don't agree with it, but come on. Salute the brother and sister. Take a few moments. Now, I know sometimes we got schedules and appointments. I understand all that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking as a matter of habit. Word of encouragement. I try to make a point not just to do it as automatic or mechanical. When someone has a testimony that hasn't testified in a while, I try to make a point to go up and encourage them. Brother, sister, it was good to hear you. Beautiful testimony. Consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. And you know it's contagious. Once we encourage one another, it's contagious. It begins to spread. The enemy wants to keep us separated. He wants us to be isolated. That's how he can work. That's how he has a way of stifling the operation of the Holy Spirit. But God says, gather together. Consider one another. Encourage one another. Lift each other up. Maybe just a few words. Sister, I'm praying for you. I just feel you on my heart. The Holy Spirit has put you on my... I'm just praying for you. I don't know why, but I'm praying for you. God wants to move. God wants to work. And we encourage one another. The body is edified. What if the ankle bone says, hey, you know, brain, I'm not moving today. You might want me to get up and walk. I'm not doing it. Lack of communication. Lord, help us. Help us that it operates together. Praise God. May the Lord encourage you this morning. May he encourage all of us. And may his name be praised. Amen. Do we have a song?